Seeking the Lord's blessing, let's turn together to the passage read in Luke's Gospel in Luke chapter 2. And we could read again from verse 27. And this is in reference to this man, Simeon. And he, Simeon, came in the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Of course, we're very familiar, especially at this time of year, that the early chapters of the Gospels record for us the great wonder and miracle of the Incarnation, something that in our own minds we ponder and reflect on, and in our own theology we affirm. And so we consider the great blessing of the Lord coming into this world and the reality of the provision that has been made for us in Christ Jesus. To the backdrop of the coming of Jesus, we have the sense of which we also survey even now, how man has fallen and how the world has itself come into darkness and brokenness. We see evidence of this all around us, in the lives and in the families and in the homes and everywhere we are, and even in our own hearts too. We see what sin has done and the damage that it has caused. And of course, chiefly, the estrangement and alienation from God. And so in the coming of Christ, we see the great wonder that we do not deserve, that the Lord has not dealt with us in accordance with our sin, but he has brought hope. And Christ has come into this world as light. And for us as a people, as the Lord's people, and as a church, this is the good news that we are tasked to share and actually to live out. And it is the good news that the world needs, the good news that the Saviour is provided, that we preach to them one who is called Emmanuel, God with us, and who is called Jesus, because he saves his people. And so we declare the message of salvation. And as we do so, we are, of course, conscious ourselves that only few take these things seriously. And there may be some lip service at the end of the year with regard to the Lord's first coming, but we find that so readily and so quickly these things are forgotten. And so there isn't a serious contemplation of the coming of Christ to such an effect that it would impact people's lives in their day-to-day experience. But the people of faith are to be different. They're to affirm the reality of the Lord's first coming. They're to affirm it with all seriousness and the impact on their own lives and their own eternity. And they are to hold it too, of course, also with the affirmation of his second coming, the promise that he is to come again. And yet we find ourselves very much in a minority even in our own community and in our own districts and in our own villages too. We find ourselves in a minority of people who appreciate the reality of what the coming of Christ truly means, of affirming his identity and his impact on our own souls and on this world. But for us too, we can look back on the gospel narrative and see that this limited appreciation of the birth of Christ and his coming is something that we find throughout the history, and even here as he himself is brought in to this world. We find at the narrative of his birth that there are few who take any serious consideration. We find in Luke's Gospel, Mary and Elizabeth, the shepherds, the angels. We find too that there are wise men in Matthew chapter 2 who come to bring gifts. But really, there are very few who take the time to consider and appreciate who this is and why he has come. It is a wonder to us that the whole world didn't stop. It is a wonder to us that everything didn't cease, that people didn't lay down everything they were doing to come and to adore the one who was born to Mary. It is a wonder to us that the greatest palace was not open to him, but rather he was laid in a manger by his mother. There were few who really appreciated his coming. And today I want us to reflect that there are two here, and especially one of them, who took seriously his coming, who are found at the temple in Jerusalem. Anna and this man, Simeon. I want us just to reflect on a few things considering this man, Simeon. As we find him here in verse 26, taking up the child in his arms, he holds Jesus in his arms and he blesses God. I want us to think about a few things that Simeon here shows us, or he teaches us or instructs us in what he says. And what we have in verses 29 to 32 is the song of Simeon as he breaks forth into praise. And as Luke tells us here in chapter 2, verse 28, he is blessing God. He is singing praise to God. And it is both praise and also prophecy. We find in verse 25 that the Holy Spirit is upon Simeon. The Holy Spirit is upon him as he sings this song and as he holds Jesus here in his arms. The event that brought this, of course, is that in verse 22 onwards, we have the record here of Mary and Joseph bringing Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem. And they're here in order for the purification and presentation. They have brought with them, in verse 24, the sacrifice that is required of them. We are reminded, of course, by Paul in Galatians 4 and verse 4, that Jesus is born of the woman under the law. He has come to fulfill the law, the great Redeemer, the one who committed no sin. And here he is presented in accordance with the Lord's requirement that the firstborn is consecrated to the Lord. And also in terms of Mary's own purification, 40 days since the birth of Jesus. And here we find that we have emphasized for us the piety of Mary and Joseph, and also their poverty. They don't take a lamb, but they take off what is here in verse 24, the pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. It's not the sacrifice even of the destitute, which was the sacrifice of just flour, but it is this provision that is given in the law in order that they would fulfill the sacrifice and obligation to them. And for our own understanding, as we come to this narrative, we see another aspect of the humiliation of our own Lord and Saviour here presented to us. But I want us to especially consider in verse 28, Simeon holding the child and blessing God. This significant moment in this old believer's life. And this moment in which he himself has been waiting for, in verse 24, waiting for the consolation of Israel. For long now, Simeon has waited for this. For long now, he has been patiently enduring. We are told also in verse 25, he's a righteous and devout man. The kind of language that is spoken of a true worshipper of God. in a day of great hypocrisy in the religious life of the people of Israel. Here we have Simeon and Anna too, laying hold in faith of the promises of God, and Simeon demonstrating faithfulness and care and attention, and also assurance of his own faith, as he here experiences before him the promises and the fulfillment of what God has given to him. He speaks here in verse 29 of being a servant or a bond servant, and this is his understanding of his own position before God. And what we have in the words, verse 29, in the Latin, this was famously referred to as nunc dimittis, now dismiss. And so this is how Simeon's words are understood, with what is brought before us here, his own plea to be dismissed, that his service is complete, his service is fulfilled, his service is over. Here are the words of a righteous man who has found what he longed for, found what he waited for, as he waits here upon God, and he receives what is in his heart and what is in the promises of God. He is declaring to God he has fulfilled his duty to his master. And he here has stood watch for long, watching and waiting, verse 25, for the consolation of Israel. In a day of great hypocrisy, where it appears that the faith of many lacks sincerity and is ingenuine. And so there are few here laying hold of the promises of God and being dutiful and faithful to God. He stands watch. He is committed to his service. And he sees the things that other people cannot see. He sees by faith. And even here in verse 25, he holds in his arms the Saviour, the one who is the consolation or comfort of God's people. We find Simeon here. He is waiting for his release, the release of duty and the release of life. And it is at the advancement of his years that he finds the climactic moment of his entire life and his life of faith. It is where his faith is matured, where he has developed into this deep spirituality, where he walks close with the Lord. He finds himself, in verse 27, in the Spirit, coming into the temple and meeting here with Mary and Joseph, awaiting the fulfillment of the promise of God. A promise that is not just a general prophecy of the coming Messiah, but promises that are personal and real to him, personal and gone into the depths of his heart. This is what we need to ensure, that the promises of God, the promises of salvation, not something that we just consider in a general way, and we just simply adhere to or assent in some way, but actually that we commit to them, that we lay hold of them in a very deep and personal way. And here is Simeon. He is not just seeking to see some fulfillment of some general prophecy. There is this personal involvement, this longing and anticipation, and many years have passed. And he sees the dereliction of the temple and the hypocrisy of the religion all around him, but he remains faithful. He stands committed. He presses on. He waits for God. I waited for the Lord my God and patiently did bear the maturing of his faith through all the struggles and through all that is before him in the years of his life, seeking to see the fulfillment and the laying hold of the blessings of God. In verse 29, let me depart in peace. And he longs for this release. He wants to leave this world. And he wants to leave this world in the reality of God's peace. Now you are letting your servant depart in peace. For Simeon, the world holds no more desire. There is nothing in this world he wants. And as he approaches the great reality of his death, in the advancement of his years, there is no fear in the grave. He longs to come home. He longs to see the fulfillment of this duty. And he longs to know the peace of God. This is how this good man dies, with God's peace. This is how we all must wish to die, to reach the end of our years here in this life. What an awful thing it must be to be at the advancement of years and the reality of the coming of the grave with no peace, with no assurance, and with a testimony that says, not ready, not ready. You see, Simeon here is presented to us. We see this wonderful picture too of this old man holding the 40-day-old child, young and old together. And we see that the greatest duty of Simeon's life comes at the advancement of years. And this is what the Bible promotes to us on many different occasions. And it's a great fault of the church when we are dismissing our old Christians too early. And rather, we ought to encourage their contribution and to see the necessity of mature faith in the life of the church. You think even of Moses, 80 years of age, when he went in to deliver the people out of Egypt. The advancement of years and the advancement of spiritual experience itself enhances and blesses the church with that deep spirituality and mature faith that is a positive influence in the life of a community and a congregation. What he speaks of here in verse 26, we see that the promise is that he will not see death until he sees the Lord's Christ. And then in verse 28, he takes the child in his hands. This is a wonderful moment for Simeon. People here around the temple are walking past, and they see Mary and Joseph just like any other couple. And this child means nothing to them. They simply walk past. But here is Simeon in the spirit, and he sees the parents bringing the child, and he takes the child in his arms. He takes the one by whom all things were created, and by whom all life is sustained, and he takes him in his arms, and he sees what others cannot see. He sees here the Lord's Christ. He sees the one who is the consolation of Israel. He sees the one who gives him peace. He sees the one who is his Savior. He praises and blesses God in verse 26. And he declares here in verse 30, my eyes have seen your salvation, what you have provided for our redemption. Here is Simeon 40 days after the birth of Christ. And he says, Christ has come. The Savior is here, and his heart is filled with joy and love and gratitude for what God has done. He speaks in verse 31 and 32 of what this Savior brings. He brings illumination, he brings inclusion, he brings people in. And here is Simeon in the advancement of his years, proclaiming and professing the reality of who Jesus is. in the uniqueness of who he is. And you see in the narrative of chapters 1 and 2, we find Simeon engaging in this chorus of praise, engaging with all who are praising the birth of Christ, engaging with the heavenly hosts and the angelic choir, lending his voice in awe and wonder and adoration. This is the climactic moment of the life of this believer in his old age, finding and seeing the reality of the messianic hope and fulfillment through this holy child. He speaks here also as he continues in verse 33 and 34. We find there that Simeon then turns to bless Mary. And he says the child is to appoint it to the fall and rising of many. And then in verse 35, too, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And he there speaks in fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. He speaks there of how others respond to Christ and what he himself has brought. He brings inclusion, he brings illumination, but he brings to the rising and the fall of many because of their response to his coming, his first coming, and the great reality of what's being kept in view of his second coming, that he is to return to judge all people. And how we have this great moment where the Lord returns in judgment with the trumpet sound, and how we will be judged by what we have done with Christ and our view on God's provision for our salvation. Here is an old man professing faith, professing hope, and telling all who would hear, this is the Christ. This is my Saviour. This is Jesus, the Saviour of the world. And some who, even in their advancement of years, and even in all that God has said to you, still don't profess, still don't proclaim, still don't resound in praise like Simeon to declare and tell the world that there is good news and to make your faith known. How is it that we can find fault with a world that seems to be itself so consumed with consumerism and materialism and paying only lip service to the reality of the coming of Christ, when we find insincerity in our own walk and in our own faith, that this is the news that should impact every single day and should be seen in our lives and in our conduct and our behaviour to one another, as well as before God, and to have a sincerity and a waiting upon the fulfillment of God's promises in the same manner as this man Simeon. And as he speaks, we find a man here who is brought before us in Luke chapter 2, who in all other respects would be unknown to us. And he speaks here a word to us, a word to the world, and a word to Mary. And we cannot lose sight of this personal word. 40 days have gone past since you gave birth to this holy child. 40 days, and he speaks to her in the recognition of what Jesus will do. In verse 34, he blessed them, Mary and Joseph, and he speaks to Mary, his mother. He speaks these words, and he speaks words right into her heart. and into the reality of our pain. 40 days holding a little child. It's days of joy, month of joy, weeks of joy. And he speaks a most solemn word to one of the people who are most understood throughout all the history of the world. Some people are guilty of venerating them, or some people are guilty, in contrast to that, of ignoring her. Many people today, we realize, are guilty of mocking her. We find ourselves like Elizabeth in chapter 1, in verses 42 and 43, saying that this is a blessed woman with a great and high privilege. She's a blessed woman. She's a gracious woman. She is a woman who is a recipient of grace and mercy from God. And she is a woman who's a mother. And that is something we should never take away from her. Because here is Simeon at the early days of Jesus' own life, recording the reality of his death. He says this, and I suppose you may think that this is unusual, but this is why Jesus came. This is why the body was prepared, that he's come to suffer. He's come to die. And when he suffers, his mother will suffer. Calvin says that her sorest battle is with the cross. He prepares her with words of comfort, consolation, and necessity. We need him to go to the cross. She needs him to go to the cross. He will reveal our hearts. He will divide people at the judgment day. He came to save his own, to bring light, to bring life, to bring hope. And Simon sees, and Simon departs in peace. He departs in peace because he has the assurance of his faith, the joy of his faith. He has satisfaction in the Lord, and he adores Christ. We are encouraged to place all our faith, our hope, and our adoration in him, in order that we too would be confident for our departure. There is only one hope and one Saviour. And whether you're in advancement of years or whether you're still in your youth, the call and encouragement is to seek the Lord, to see what Simeon saw. He saw the one who is the Saviour. Verse 29, "Now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Friends, let us look on Christ in that adoration and that assurance. And let us have faith. Let us see the Saviour that God has given. Amen. The Lord bless our thoughts again. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we bless and praise you for the great wonderful provision that has been given to us. Help us to see Christ, to consider and wonder even at what is described for us in your word, in the incarnation itself, in the giving of the one who is called Emmanuel, God with us. Let us behold him, let us adore him, and let us trust in him. Forgive us then our doubts, and be near to us, we pray, and all we ask is in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing then to God's praise in Psalm 98 on page 129. And we'll sing verses 2 to 4. Psalm 98, verse 2, the Lord declared his saving work and made it to be known to all the nations of the world. His righteousness is shown. Psalm 98, verses 2 to 4, we're standing to sing praise to God. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.